Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour with your host, Jenny Seek.
Hi, folks. This is Jenny Seek, and this is your weekly forum for connecting with your intuitive process, all things metaphysical, and honoring and recognizing your soul self. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy the ride.
Hi, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour this week. If you are interested in topics about connecting with the depth in yourself, connecting with the deeper parts of yourself that make you more authentically you, connecting with that untapped part of you, what we call our calling, what we call our inner magic, then you're in the right place. This show is for folks who are interested in plumbing those depths and in bringing up the uniqueness of themselves and in living that authentically in the world. A great way to do that is to connect with our intuition, to connect with that wonderful deepening and recognizing the breadcrumbs along on our path that speak directly to us, that make our lives so much richer and so much more sweet. So if that topic is something that interests you, you are definitely in the right place. I have a lot of stuff to cover tonight, and I'm excited by it because in my life right now, I have experienced a lot of very, very big changes very quickly, as I'm sure all of you have, with the quickening that is accompanying 2013, with the deepening and the quickening, and that if we're in that place inside ourselves where we're connected with what we're most wanting to manifest, that is just coming up roses for us. And for those of us who maybe aren't in that place, who aren't so quick to be able to feel for ourselves what is intuitively right, there is a sorting process that's going on for a lot of people and a deepening process that's going on that's asking us to identify for ourselves uniquely what is special on our journey and what we have to offer and give back in the world. So my life has just been really kind of amazing since the new year. Just amazing things have been happening and very, very quickly. And my life is starting to really take shape in the direction that I really am calling into being in a very exciting way, in terms of my businesses, in terms of my career, and these sorts of things. The one place that I really struggle, and we all can look at our life and we all can say, there's a place where I struggle. There's a place where I don't have it all figured out. The one place that I really struggle is with family, and it can be difficult because we live in a culture that tells us that family should be a refuge and family should be a place that we turn to when we don't have support in any other places. But many people experience their families as not being this way, and so there's a hiding that sometimes has to happen, where we hide from our best friends who what our real experience of family is, and we hide from the people in our life, our loved ones, who our family really is, because we fall into this idea of a myth of what a family is supposed to be. And so this show, I have recently had this dream that I'll share with you guys and try to unpack a little bit. But this show is going to be dedicated to talking about some of those themes that come up in these dreams and the family myth and what that looks like for us and what part of it is real, what part of it we can, you know, sink our teeth into, and what part of it we have to move away from and say, this doesn't speak to who I am now, and that there's always a separation process because we are who we are as a child, and we come in and are shaped by those energies and people around us. But then as we grow into an adult, we have to identify for ourselves what that adult looks like and what we want to bring into the world. Jung talks about this in terms of the individuation process and the differentiation process and the idea that what happens to us as we grow older is we start to differentiate. We start to identify for ourselves the things that do work on our journey and the things that don't work for us. And we start to give our gifts back, and we start to do it on our own terms. And that can be a very, very difficult process for some people, but it can be a very liberating process as well. So I have, like I said, have had a lot of very wonderful, amazing happenings that have happened by just holding the energy clearly and redolently and without apology since the new year. And I really encourage you guys, wherever you are, whatever you're dreaming, to do this as well, you know, to plumb the depths of those desires that you have and make sure that they're clear for yourself and that they're unapologetic, and that if you have to do some of that work where you have to deal with some shame and guilt and some of these deeper, darker emotions, that you separate that from your intention setting and that you find a place in your life to set intention purely from a pure place of beauty for yourself. Because I guarantee that if you do that and you separate those energies for yourself, you will find a wonderful opportunity there. So anyway, this dream that I had, I recently had my mother come to visit me, and whenever I have family come, it is consternating. It brings up a lot, and I'm sure for all of you out there, it brings up a lot. You know, you have a lot of hopes, you have a lot of desires, you have a lot of dreams, you have a lot of expectations, you have a lot of disappointments, because we pack a lot into this family myth and kind of sell it back to ourselves and kind of do ourselves a disservice about not recognizing authentically who our family really is. So my mother came recently, and I have made the choice to separate from portions of my family that were just very dysfunctional and very wounding to me. And I'm reevaluating some of that on some levels. And I'm sure I'll continue to reevaluate and to change what that definition looks like for me and what family looks like, because that changes all the time for us. But what I've chosen not to be in contact with parts of my family, and that has been a very, very good decision. Anybody out there who's really struggling with identifying for yourself, you know, some of those backstories and comes up with the idea that, you know, you're stuck with this idea, this cemented idea of yourself as less than or not whole or not okay, and can trace it back to a family member who gave you those sorts of messages, I really encourage you to separate or at least limit your time from that person, because that can get caught up into your own manifesting and your own definition of self, and it can do some very, very fundamental damage. So if you're considering needing to move away, honor that need and recognize, too, that you're a person who has the capacity to change as well. So my mother came to visit this weekend, and I really do believe that it was due to this dream that I was able to separate these two parts of myself, the child, the wounded child, the inner child that idealizes things and needs everything to be so wonderful, and the part of myself that is more grown up, the part of myself that is creating my own journey in the world outside of the woundedness that maybe I inherited. So I'm going to share with you this dream, and I'd just like you to sit with it, with the images in the dream, and also sit with the images in your own dream. If you notice some similarities or some differences that seem compelling to you, because when we start to construct a family myth, parts of it hold energy for us for a long time, and parts of it we have to discard. So this is the dream that I had, and I'm not sure what I'm going to end up naming it, but for now I'm calling it the Grand Manor House Karma and Fate. So I was working in an estate, a huge, huge castle, like kind of like Downton Abbey, for those of you who are watching it. huge, grand staircases and floors and floors of rooms and rooms. And we know on a Jungian level that when we dream about houses, a house is a part of the self. A house is a symbol for the self, and the rooms that are open and lit and airy are the parts of our life that we are comfortable in with ourselves, and the rooms that are dark or dreary or where there might be a piece of wood that's sticking up in the entryway, you know, that we have to push down, tells us about sticky areas of ourself, areas where maybe there's something sticking up that takes our notice. And they tell us about the parts of ourselves we're less comfortable with, perhaps the shadow parts of ourselves. So in this dream, I was working in an estate, and there were many cats, just groups of cats in the stairwells. And there was wait staff, and there was a family, a manor family, so a very highly bred family. And I started to ingratiate myself because I didn't really know what I was doing there. I didn't really understand my role there in relationship to everyone else. I wasn't sure if I was part of the family or if I was connected with the cats or if I was part of the house. You know how sometimes you're just dropped in a dream and you're looking around going, okay, how does this relate to me? So that was kind of how this was. So I was starting to ingratiate myself and create connections with the family and the cats, and to find out clues about the family from the wait staff. So I wasn't directly going to the family, but I was asking the people on the wait staff, the people who took care of the family, how to interact with them. And I remember in the dream that there was much traversing of these grand stairways. I was running up and running down and running up and running down. And I was petting the cats and connecting with the cats more than I was comfortable connecting with the family, and that can be, you know, an indicator of our own inner self and where we're at. Often animals represent an instinctual part of ourself that I found comforting. And the cats mirrored the family in their allegiances and their relationships. So there were about as many cats as there were family members, and they were doing very similar things. The dream seemed to be reaching an end, and I felt that in the dream. It just felt like, you know how sometimes you'll have a dream or you'll have an experience and you're like, oh, this is ending. That's kind of how it felt. And there was a photograph of five ancestral daughters that I knew was coming in the mail, and that was just what it was, ancestral daughters. It was coming in the mail that I was supposed to retrieve for the lady of the house. And I had the feeling that much of the story of the house lay in the photo. So a lot of the questions that I had about who the family was, who the cats were, who the waitstaff was, and their relationship to me was held in this one photo that I was waiting, like with bated breath, to be delivered to the house. And I had the feeling that many of these questions would be answered. The butler brought it to me, and I was clutching the photo in my hands, and I was not allowed into the back wing of the house. And I knew all of a sudden that there was an area of the house that I was not allowed to occupy, and that that was an area that had family members in this house. So to me, that represents not really feeling a community or a connection with my own family in myself, which is very, very true. I've very much struggled to be seen and valued on my journey, and have had a very, very different path than my family, and a very different set of ideas about what is what my path looks like, what's important, and what do I want to say with my life. And I've had a very conscious journey, and in some ways, a very jarring journey, and a very magical journey. And I think my family has had a journey that is more more typical, you know, and that it's been hard for them to ask these larger questions. So the butler finally brought the photo to me that had come in the mail, and I was clutching it in my hands. And for some reason, now that I had this photo of these five ancestral sisters, I was then able to go back into the back wing of the room. And I don't know what I was going to do, if I was going to show the photo to these people, to the family, or what. But instead, there were two younger sisters who were in there who I'd never seen before, but who looked similar to the lady of the house. And I wondered if they might be triplets, but I couldn't figure out how they would be triplets because the two sisters were very much younger than the mother. And they didn't seem to know of the mother or of the lady of the house. They didn't seem to know or have a connection with her. It occurred to me at this point that many in the house might be ghosts, including the lady of the house and the cats. And I had written a story when I was in school long ago about the house, and we had to do an assignment based on a family myth and talk about our family myth and write about our family. And I wrote about each member of my family and what it was like to engage them as I was growing up. And then I talked about how our house held this energy that was palpable in the walls, and that it was energy that couldn't be expressed or worked with in the family, and so how it was held in the walls and how I felt it whenever I would go home. And I then had written another paper about ghosts and the idea that ghosts are unexpressed longings, they're unexpressed desires that we have, things that it isn't appropriate or okay to say, and that they hold palpable energy, and that that energy feels like an entity or a separation of energy in us. So it makes sense that at this point in the dream, I really thought that there were ghosts. I also had written about the number five, and for me, the number five, especially in the tarot, is all about engaging energies that are difficult, integrating energies that may not be smooth, but that through reworking and reconfiguring and going back into the energy, there's a softening that happens by shifting our own perspective. Kind of if you guys are familiar with Gestalt psychology, what is foreground and what is background. And if you can start to shift and soften the questions that you're asking, you can get insight into those questions. So these five ancestral daughters represented to me different parts of myself, different aspects of who I was as I was growing up in my family, and who was trapped in time, you know, was it the rebel, was it the feminist, was it the poet, was it the, you know, I mean, who, and how to integrate all of these, and that maybe by seeing all of these daughters together, I would be able to integrate a part of myself. Now, I'm really reaching when I'm saying that because that wasn't in the dream itself, but it feels to me accurate as I'm telling the story. And the power of three, we also know, is a very, very powerful number. So the fact that there was a lady in the house, a manor lady in the house, who I was watching. And then there were these two sisters, and the sisters often represent two directions we can head in. The power of two represents a choice. We can either be this way or we can be that way. And when two shows up, it shows us that we can be two different ways at once. We don't have to choose one thing. And then that helped me energetically to open up other energy in my life around my relationship with my mother, who I believe was the man or lady in the house, and in some ways is myself, you know, because we are always a reflection of our mother. So let's see here, where was I at? Let's see. So anyway, I was asking these questions about which of the energies that I was encountering were real, and which of these energies that I was encountering were ghosts, were energies that had dissipated, or energies that were held at bay, energies that weren't reliable, that weren't tangible. And I think by asking this question, I was able to shift a lot of my feelings about my family and some of the wounding, some of the expectations. and disappointment I've had about who I would have liked my family to be and grow myself up a little there. So at this point, I realized it was at this point that, and Jung talks about this idea of the feeling toned complex, and that what we're really working on doing is integrating some of that energy or releasing some of that energy back to ourselves, and that when we have some of that energy blocked in a certain way, we express. We don't have as much life energy to give back to ourselves, so that we're not as vital, we're not as connected, we're not as present with ourselves. And it was at this point that I received this photo and did this work around recognizing that some of these energies I was encountering were ghosts, were not really real in the truest sense of the word. But I realized that I could jump really, really, really incredibly high, and I got very excited about my ability to do this. And all of a sudden, it wasn't about putting together these clues about who this family in this house was, but it was about instead this thing I could do in my body. I could jump incredibly high in the air, and I jumped all the way down a back foyer, which led to an auditorium, which seemed to be attached to a playhouse. So there's a lot of energy and a lot of life, and there's this back area in the house that where this theatrical opportunity to live out in a lively way different things takes place, and I'm jumping to this place. And I'm so excited by finding this new place in the house that I don't really care about the manor house. I don't really care about what happened there. And I'm now firmly rooted in the present time. And I'm still committed to the idea of getting the photo to the lady, but I don't know how to get back to that part of the house, to that ghost part of the house. I made my way up to this woman who's contemporarily dressed. She's an African-American woman, and she's a patron that is in this playhouse of some sort. She is, I spot her at the bottom of the stairs. And we seem to connect for a purpose, not having to do with the manor house, not having to do with the backstory, which I had kind of left behind at this point. The energy was here with this playhouse and here with this auditorium and here with this life, this stage. All life's a stage. And I realize that this connection is equally important and parallel to everything that happened there energetically. It's just as important, the life I'm living now, who I am, how I define my purpose, how I define my mission, and what my purpose of living is as important as any wounding I experienced in my family. And it was just a very, very powerful dream. It's interesting that the woman is African-American. I've often had figures come to my dreams, come to me in my dreams who are African-American who represent Jung's idea of the shadow. And in that literal way, I also have had dreams of this wonderful African-American man who is kind of a guardian angel and kind of a guide and watches me and allows me to do things that are difficult to do but that help me to grow. So this woman, and it's interesting that now it's a woman instead of a man because it represents coming back to the self in some way and integrating that shadow energy, integrating that energy into the recognition that as I let go of my expectations about figuring out this whole family piece, I meet this wonderful woman who's an African-American woman who helps me to soften around my own shadow. And it was very, very soon after that that my mother came to visit. She came the next week, and it was very, very powerful because I didn't have the same kind of expectations in my family of her. I was very able to give her some wonderful, wonderful boundaries about how to interact with me, what it was appropriate for her to ask me about, what I wanted to share with her, and what was a backstory that was not useful for both of us. And so I was able to really understand the relationship as it was in the here and now, as it was right now, and to really, really see who she is to me, which is just a simple person who loves me, who made mistakes, and who, you know, feels sad and who can't take everything back and can't fix everything because she's a person. And I was able to give very clear instructions to my mom about, you know, not trying to create a bridge between me and the other family members. I was able to say, no, you know, we're able to have this relationship, you and I, separate from that. We're able to be as we're able to be adults. We're able to be friends as adults, but we can't go back and we can't fix this other piece. So it released a lot of energy in me, and it made me feel a new part of myself, which is a much more grown-up, clear part of myself. And I think it's mirroring a lot of what's going on right now with some of the clinical work that I'm doing, because, right now there's a lot of theory around the validity of going back and telling the backstory and flushing it out. I've had some clients who want to do this hypnosis stuff where they go back to the wounding place, and that can sometimes be helpful, but it can be just as helpful to start to figure out who we are now, because our families create in us the opportunities to explore untapped parts of ourselves. It is because of our wounding that we become such magnificent beings, that we have such gifts to offer, because our wounding helps us to identify, to have increased empathy around certain kinds of issues, around and to invest, to invest in certain kinds of learning and certain kinds of growing. We go into the fields we go into because of the stories that we've told in our lives. And often those stories are directly due to a wounding experience that we've had. So right now I'm working a lot with helping people to identify who they are now, who they are as a result of the strengths that they needed to grow to survive some of the wounding, so that they can identify and separate from their backstory, from what they've been told they are, or what they've taken in, that may not reflect the best and brightest parts of themselves. So that's really been a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. And I knew long ago when I started this intuitive work and this counseling work that that's where I wanted to head. I really wanted to head in the direction of who we could be, who we were becoming, not who we have been. Because who we have been, you know, we owe a tribute to who we have been, because it creates who we become, but it limits us as well. So it's been really wonderful to focus the work a lot more on that, a lot more on the manifestation, a lot more on giving gifts back. And even with trauma work, you know, even when you have people who have experienced really, really painful things, there's a wonderful book for folks who are doing trauma work now, or imagining doing it, or figuring out what that looks like. It is by Peter Levine, and it's called Waking the Tiger. It's a very shamanic way of doing trauma work. And it talks about not needing to go back into all of the gory details, into all of the, you know, the very painful details, but really figuring out how the person was able to survive the situation, what enabled them to feel empowered and to grow beyond the trauma, to be a survivor, to connect often for people it has to do connecting with nature, connecting with something outside of the self, connecting with the divine, and then sometimes going back to the self after that, but connecting with something that feels like a bridge to the divine. And so I encourage folks who are interested in trauma work from a different perspective to check out this book by Peter Levine. Waking the Tiger, and maybe to go through your own experiences where you've experienced things that were difficult and figure out what gift there was in that opportunity. What helped you create a bridge to the future and to that place of empowerment in yourself? What helped you to not keep telling that backstory that is so wounding? It can be so wounding to get caught in that backstory again and again and again. I know for myself, on my own journey, it often had to do with connecting with nature. When I was a small child, there was a wonderful area out in the back woods where there were all these grapevines and things, and I would haul all this moss back there, and I would make this moss bed back there, and I would imagine all of these little woodland creatures sleeping there at night, and it helped me to nurture myself and to feel better and feel taken care of by imagining taking care of something else, nurturing something else. So I encourage you to not look at your traumas, not look at your difficult situations so literally, and to look at them more in terms of the opportunity to connect with this deeper, more sacred part of yourself, this more symbolic part of yourself, and this more heart-centered part of yourself, because I guarantee that those pieces help sustain you through whatever you experienced. I also encourage you not to move away energetically from the things that seem difficult, to find a way to stand up inside them, but to sort so that you're not going back into a situation that's volatile, or where you're not going to get what you want, where you're going to get stuck in what Freud calls a repetition compulsion, where you're going to get stuck trying to get something out of someone who doesn't have the capacity to give it. You know, when someone doesn't have the capacity to give something, and we start to get so wounded around that, we know we're back in a very, very childlike, early place. And that's the opportunity there to do inner child work. So I encourage you in your dreaming life to figure out if you're having these dreams that allow you to connect with these family myths and to identify for yourself what that family story looks like and what parts of it you really want to own and take into you and understand what parts of it you want to let go, what parts of it you want to kind of grow up and figure out, yes, they gave me this framework so that I could work with this wonderful self that I am and manifest these wonderful gifts. But if I take that story into the future, then I take that wounding into the future. So I really, really encourage you in your dreams and in your daily experiences to figure out how to not take that wounding into the future, how to separate that, how to recognize it when you're feeling it, right? Because when we're feeling very, very wounded, if we ignore it, we just do what our parents did to us. So you want to recognize that it's there, you know. Give it a cup of hot cocoa, take it for a walk, wrap up in a blanket. Be aware of the fact that you're experiencing wounding, but don't allow it to move into your future and shape your dream in the future, because you have a right to those dreams, clear and free and liberated and not encumbered by that energy of the past, but instead inspired by that life energy of the future. So that's what I have for you tonight on Inner Voice. And I encourage you to go into the dream time and feel your way around in there and identify for yourself the different parts that speak to you. Next week we will have Drake Spieth on the show. I'm really excited to have him on. He is a professor. Let me look up his little bio here so I can tell you a little bit more about Drake. He posted a wonderful piece as well, which I'll read to you on the way out here. He is a shamanic counselor. He's a licensed clinical psychologist. He studied at the Crow's Nest, which is a wonderful facility for folks who are interested in a shamanic perspective in counseling. And he will be sharing all of his journey with us and why he does the work, the way that he does it. And so I'm really, really excited to have him on the show. If I can find, I don't know if I can. Oh, here we go. Here's a wonderful quote by Jung. I'll leave it with you. Our heart glows and secret unrest gnaws at the root of our being. Dealing with the unconscious has become a question of life for us. So that means, you know, creating that bridge between the unknown and the known and figuring out who it is we are becoming. So I'm going to read it once more because I think it's so wonderful. Our heart glows and secret unrest gnaws at the root of our being. Dealing with the unconscious has become a question of life for us. So tune in next week when Drake Spies will enlighten us with all the ways that he works with clients and with the work in his life. Thanks so much for listening to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour. I'm going to take you out with a wonderful song called The Blessings by Dar Williams, which is all about synchronicity and noticing it in our lives and in nature. Whatever you do between now and next week, go and make magic, inspire magic, create magic, find magic, instill magic in others, and notice it in yourself, because that's what we're here for. Have a great night. Bye now.